There we go. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength, and pray your good hand upon us this morning. Please be one of our number, and please help us, Lord, as we lift up your praises for with the tithes and the offerings, with fellowship, with the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, with those our brethren that aren't with us this morning, I think especially on Frank, and I think on Christine this morning, Lord, and Esther and Christy, and Stephen and John and Carol. Lord, we miss them all, but Lord, we're here, and you've made a promise to us that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'll be there in the midst. So we hold you to that, Lord, and we covet your presence. Be with Brother Stan and Brother Bissett and the Haynes and the Asquiths, Lord, and Cosgraves, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, that you would prepare godly men around the world to stand up and to proclaim the gospel. Just thank you, Lord, for loving us, and we pray you, Lord, especially for our rulers at this time, you would watch over them, you would convict them greatly and unceasingly, Lord, about doing things the right way. Love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, of course, for our private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to begin with hymn number 2 this morning. I know we sing this one quite a lot, but it all revolves around this blessed old book. Hymn number 2 in the wee black hymn books, this blessed old book. We'll remain seated just to give you a chance to warm up before we stand. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and warm. When battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Amen. I think that actually came off a... I'm not call it contemporary Christian music, even though it sort of is, but it's very, very good. They actually have a double play of the chorus at the end. I think sometime we might actually just try that. In the meantime, however, 165 in the big hymn books, 165. We'll, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing and worship the King. And I forgot to mention Pat and Steve too, as missing brothers and sisters this morning. So. Amen. 165, O worship the King. Let's stand and make joyful noise.
chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in
to read for us this morning.
You just come right ahead.
This morning's reading is from the book of James, James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand you there, or sit there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called, if ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law of transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejects judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, through a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding he give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith and have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know obeying man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen.
A lot of powerful verses in James 2. James 2 and 10 is one that I've used many a time, that basically says whether you're a big sinner or whether you're a little sinner, you're still a sinner in God's eyes, and you still need to be saved, regardless of whether you killed people or just tell wee white lies. All right, a couple of pieces of announcements that aren't here, but you may have gotten a note from me to the effect about Pat and Steve's granddaughter. sometimes you need to see things for them to really hit home, but I got to meet Jessica. She was down visiting Pat and Steve on Friday afternoon, and I nipped past coming home from calling in with Esther to see how Esther was doing. And Jessica has like scalded flesh on the side of her face. Not too bad now, she's just got cream on it. But on her neck is bandaged, and round the back of her shoulders bandaged, and down over her chest is bandaged. Don't know what happened, all the details. Seemingly a shower was either too faulty, or the shower head came off and she just got all of the hot water just right on her skin. But whatever happened, it's left her in a bad place, and she is looking at 2 years before she is recovered. And that's what the card's for. Sorry, yes. If you'd like to put your name on the card and just let Jessica know that you'll be praying for. A year and a half ago, if you said I'd be looking at a year and a half recovery time, I would have thought that seems like a lifetime. You do get through it, it just takes time. So please do pray for Jessica. They say she's got a few weeks off work, and I think she might need more than just the 3 weeks that they're giving her. She's up a few days in the week getting bandages and things replaced. So please do pray for Jessica and for her mom and dad. Imagine going from a fully autonomous 22-year-old with the world at your feet to all of a sudden needing mummy and daddy and doctors and nurses 2 or 3 days every week. That's a big change, so please do pray for her. Frank is gone. I think he'll be landed by now, wouldn't he? Did you just get a text, did you? Safe and sound. So Frank is back on the ground again. Our prayers are answered so far, and I'm sure they'll be answered the rest of the way too. We're going to miss him for another wee while, but please do continue to pray for him. We all know what he looks like. We've seen him often enough. Please do pray for Christy as well at this time. Aunt Mark, wee Marky as he used to be. I used to be able to hold Marky in one hand and Jeremiah in the other. And that is never going to happen again unless I turn into the Incredible Hulk. But they're all growing up. Mark, Marky, Mark and Christopher are in Mexico. They have another week of isolation before they will be allowed to travel pending the results of a COVID test. So please do pray for Christy and Mark, and please do pray for Taylor Roth and the wedding party and the arrangements, and there's a bunch of stuff happening, and he needs your prayer, so please do remember Christy. Do pray for Pat and Steve. They are not with us this morning, but hoping to be here this evening. do pray for young Stephen. He's not been feeling the best of late. Pray for John and Carol. I'd also like for you to remember Esther's daughter, Tina. She was admitted to hospital on, was it Friday? I think it was Friday. A lot of problems and needs a lot of prayer. Her name's Tina, so please do pray for Esther's daughter, Tina. And I think that's about all of that. Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
Mom.
Oh, yes, Monica's mom, my mother-in-law, is going in for, is it electroshock on the, not in the brain, that's electroshock. It's a shock on the heart to adjust the rhythm on the heart. I think she is in AFib. And she needs to be shocked into a normal routine before they can perform an ablative operation on the arteries. So we'd appreciate your prayers for Pat Hain as well, Monica's mummy. We did mention some of the churches across the water. We never mentioned Kids for Schools this morning in prayer, and by we, I mean me. So please do pray for Kids for Schools and the Christian Institute. All these places still keep going. There's people that are still depending on them for food and for Christian education and defence. I can almost certainly guarantee you the Christian Institute's going to have its work cut out for it in the up-and-coming days and weeks and months and years. So please do remember that. I saw an article from London about a man, a preacher, being arrested for preaching the gospel in London. So it's coming. We need to be ready. So please do be much in prayer. Private prayer requests. I think I have. Let me just see. I have a line under everybody's name, and I'm assuming I know we all have private prayer requests. And I would even just have a look around. There's only five of us here this morning. Shouldn't be too difficult to remember those faces. I'm sure sometimes we try and forget, but please do pray for each other. It's very, very important. And I think that's about that. I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful you are too. And I hope and pray that the service will be a blessing to you. The private prayer requests are important. Just because they're tagged on at the end and there's no details given does not mean that they're not important, and I know you all have them. I have them as well. Monica does. Please do remember to pray for them. Well, would you mind leading us in a wee word of prayer, if you will, brother?
Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for being sunny and warm and lovely, Lord, as they are, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us the freedom and the liberty to come into our presence today, Lord. And Lord, thank you for saving our souls, Lord. I'm sending something down the cross for our sins, Lord. We've had some brethren, we've been in, Lord, bless him and keep him as he's in the lazy manner, pray for him and keep him in the mystery of his first day as well, Lord. And we have Frank, give him joy and mercies, pray for him and love him, keep him safe and well, Lord. The mystery of him daily, also spiritually, Lord, as well, Lord. We have Stephen, John, and Carl, Lord. We have Stephen, Lord, and sickness, Lord, ease his pain, Lord, bring him to the fulfilled world cross, where he can lay sins and come to salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have Esther today, Lord, provide for our keepers, and ease her uncomfortableness with her skin condition, Lord, and keep her in the familiar way, Lord, helping her health situation also, and provide for her as well. And bless her and give her the spiritual needs through the CD ministry as well, Lord. We have Tina as well, Lord, only thou knowest, Lord, what she needs, Lord, but she needs salvation, Lord. And Lord, that may she come to the fulfilled world cross and be saved from her sins, Lord, the only way for salvation, Lord. Pray for Pat and Steve, if possible, Lord, bring Pat and Steve to church tonight, Lord, and Lord, give them strength, Lord, to do so, Lord, and everything else, Lord, and give them and their diabetes, Lord, ease it, Lord, all the medical conditions that they have, Lord, that you may ease it, stop with the discomfort, give them respite, give them sleep at night, and Lord, provide for them and keep them a blessing as well, Lord. Pray for this day, Lord, and provide for us, mark the Spirit, Lord, and then go through the Word of God, Lord, divine the Word, Lord, and give it to us, Lord, and just the whole form to each and every needs, Lord, that we each have, Lord. Bless us today, Lord, pray for us, keep us, and may we do everything except on this side, Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. And one other name that you all know of, but I forgot to mention, Will's mom. I think she's up for a scan this morning, so please do. If you have a quiet moment whenever you can tear your attention away from me, if if you find your attention wandering, direct it over to Christine and say a wee word of prayer for her. She's been having some difficulties with her tummy of late, so please do remember that as well. All right, big hymn book 260. We'll remain seated as we sing, He's Able to Deliver Thee.
Tis the grandest thing through the ages run, tis the grandest thing for a mortal tongue, tis the grandest thing that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, He is sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain, 'tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
Amen. You can put the wee books, the big books away, and take the wee books out. And if you would like to go to number 11. Number 11 is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And we'll stand for this penultimate hymn of the morning.
We great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Amen. You may be seated and you can put your hymn books away, if you would. And if you still have your page folded in your Bible, it's 2 Chronicles 35. Take and turn there, and if you haven't, take and turn there anyway. 2 Chronicles 35. We've been here for a week, or maybe a week and a bit, actually. And we're still, as I was reading on about Josiah, I thought there's more stuff. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 35 this morning. And I want to speak on the subject of having a Kit Kat. It's very biblical. It goes with Hebrews. Isn't that right? It's the men that make the tea. And with the tea, you need a Kit Kat. No, that's not the way it, that's not what it means at all. But that's the title of the message this morning. Have a Kit Kat. 2 Chronicles 35. I'll get there in just a second. There we go. All right, beginning at verse number 1, we have a few verses to get through, and we're going to read until, let me just double check here and see, yeah, we're going to read until verse 27, which is the whole thing. So let's get started. Thank you, Lord. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges, and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, force after destroying Egypt almost completely, even to the very breaking of their hearts, with the death of their firstborn and the spoiling of Egypt whenever the Jewish people asked to borrow money and gems from them. They just gave them everything. And so they left, and the last thing that the Lord did was to utterly destroy Egypt's army with the waters coming down in the Red Sea. And God said, I want you to remember this. You must remember this, because if you forget about all the great things that I have done for you, you'll forget your foundation, and you'll start to do things that are not right. And so every year, the Lord actually commands the Jewish people to observe the Passover every year, but it hadn't been observed for years, and here Josiah has the single biggest Passover that was ever recorded in the Bible up to this point. Thousands of cattle, thousands of sacrifices, all to be offered up and given to every man, woman, and child that cared to partake of it in Israel. And it says this was the 18th year of the reign of Josiah. That made him 26. I think the word of God says that Josiah reigned for about 31 years. So this is the year 18, another 13 years to go, and that would be the end of Josiah's life. And the big turning point in his life was There wasn't a big turning point in his life. From the 18th year until the 31st year, there was peace. The Bible's, there's nothing mentioned. There's nothing good mentioned. There's nothing bad mentioned. Josiah kept the wheels turning, kept the Passover being celebrated, kept the church open, kept the people doing the right thing, and for the whole reign of Josiah, Judah did well. But for some strange reason, in the 31st year of his reign, in the 39th year of his life, that would mean that he would have been, if it had been me, I would have been, I'm 16 years into overtime compared to Josiah. For some strange reason, he decided that he needed to have a good scrap. And there was a battle going on, Necho, or if that's the way you pronounce it, if you ever find out how that is pronounced, you can let me know. The king of Egypt decided that he would listen to what God said, and God said, go and fight against Carchemish. And the king of Egypt, he went and did that. And for some strange reason, I don't know, it happens to a lot of people whenever they walk with the Lord for a long time, think they can do whatever they like. For some strange reason, Josiah, after having been promised a peaceful death by God, if he listened to him, if he followed his commandments, in other words, live to a grand old age and die in peace. Goodness. Keep your nose out of bother. That literally meant God was saying, as long as you don't get into any, as long as you don't go picking a fight with anybody or get yourself involved in a war, it'll be peaceful for you. Just listen to me. Just keep doing what you're doing. That wouldn't do for Josiah. Maybe he thought at nearly 40 years old that he needed to prove himself. He needed to test his mettle against an opposing king. But even after the king of Egypt said, God has spoken to me and he has told me to go to Carchemish and to fight against him. Go away. Literally told that by the king of Egypt. What does he do? There was one other king that did exactly the same as him. Does anyone remember Ahab, who disguised himself as a soldier and went to war, I think was with the king of Syria, and asked Jehoshaphat, and he said to Jehoshaphat, you go as the king and I'll disguise myself as a soldier. And if anybody ever says that to you, always think twice before you agree to anything. To cut a long story short, Jehoshaphat nearly lost his life, and Ahab did, because they spotted him and an archer. A bunch of men were told to fight against nobody else but the king. They killed him. And that's exactly what happened here as well. He disguised himself, probably as a soldier, but he probably sat in his very nice chariot. And there was a... Do you ever see any of those old medieval shows, like a big wall of arrows just goes at their enemy, like the 300 or something like that? A very violent show, but literally walls of arrows would have been fired at their enemies. Josiah caught one. And the first thing he did was called to his soldiers and said, take me away. I am sore wounded. And he died. Now, I'm not going to say you need to be on your ball 100% of the time, because we just can't. There's at least 7 or 8 hours of every day when our minds are in complete free fall, and there's any amount of nonsense could be going through them. And I don't mean the time that you get up until the time it comes to tea time. I'm obviously talking about sleeping in your bed. And have you ever got up in the morning and you've had a dream that upset you or just weighed heavy on your mind, and it just changed the whole slant of your day? These things happen. But I want for you to understand that the Lord says over and over, Norman was reading in James about being a respecter of persons. If you're nice to people that are rich and you're bad to people that are poor, well, then you're being a respecter of persons. And God God just doesn't appreciate that. It doesn't matter if you're a king, and it doesn't matter if you're a pauper. It doesn't matter if you're Josiah or David or Solomon or Saul. It is incumbent upon you to listen to God. It is necessary, even more so as a leader, that you listen to God. And when God says to do something, that you keep doing it. Until such a time that God says, well, I think that's probably enough of that, let's move on. But it'll be moving on from that, not moving away from it. We all know how it worked out with Saul. His jealousy, his departure from God's will, his presumption that he should be able to do the high priest's business, brought about him losing not only his kingdom, but his own life and that of his sons in battle. And David was given the throne. We know as well that David for many years faithfully served the Lord, shepherding his father's sheep, protected them from a lion and a bear. It says he took, the lion by the beard and slew it with the sword, and he did the same to the bear. And whenever he came to see the children of Israel fighting the Philistines, what did he do? He said, this heathen of a Philistine, he'll be like the lion and the bear, and God will deliver me into his hand. And it was amazing. And the people were so impressed that a young fella could kill like a 12, 13 foot tall giant that had been a man of war from his youth, because God had his hand on him. They started singing, David has killed, or Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s. And we know that David became the king of Israel. And we know that for many years he reigned justly, but one day, instead of getting up and doing what he should have been doing, out fighting the wars that secured his country, he was lying in his bed. And he got up in the evening, that's all day lying in your bed, it's bad news to lie in your bed all day. He saw a woman bathing herself in the open, obviously. I don't know what her plan was, but to cut a long story short, she caused the king of Israel to commit adultery. And he was a more than willing participant because he had her husband killed and brought about his downfall. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, literally the wisdom of God given to him on a plate, along with peace, along with victory, married 1,000 wives and concubines, and at the very, very end, they turned his head away from God and brought about the departure of the kingdom. The kingdom was ripped in two and given to, a tiny bit was given to his son Rehoboam. We need to listen to God. And not just when it's handy. We need to do what God says. And remember that there's never a time in your life when you're eligible for a day off from being a son of God. There's never a day off. A lot of people say, oh, being a Christian is such a difficult life. I have to read the Bible. That's awful. I have to pray to God Almighty and tell him all my woes and troubles. That's terrible. I want to take a day off from all of that. Instead of drinking tea, I want to drink beer. Instead of listening to the gospel, I want to watch a dirty movie. Instead of the words of eternal life, I want to bring out dirty jokes. Instead of treating people right, I want to hate in the Protestants, or I want to hate in the Catholics, or I want to hate in the blacks, or the Muslims. I have a question for you. I trust and pray in the course of your Christian life that God has actually reached down and put his finger on you, that he has touched you from time to time. Whether it's a comfort, whether it's a... Now hold on there, Mark, you're not doing that right. Whether it's a wee bit of chastening or a wee bit of wisdom or a wee bit of strength or a wee bit of encouragement, And talking to you, I know for a fact that God has dealt with you in your lives. If you're here at all, it's a miracle, let me tell you. Not just because you have to listen to me every week. But I have a question for you. You want a day off from serving God? Grand. Do you want the day off from serving God that God was going to deliver a blessing to you? Do you want that day off? Is that the day that you would like off? I'm not saying you do want the day off. You're my audience. It's a participation sport when you come to Bethel. Do you want that day off? Do you want the, oh, I couldn't be bothered reading the Bible. I couldn't be bothered praying. I wish I wasn't a child of God for a day. Is that the day you want off? Most people say, well, no. If God has something for me, it's good for me. Even if it's a straightening out, it's going to save me money and time and heartache on down the line. I'll still take it. Like the Lord said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you guys are as evil as all get out, and yet you're good to your kids, aren't you? Well, how much more do you think your Father which is in heaven will be good to his children? So is that the day you would like off? Or maybe you'd like a day off at some point in the future where the Lord comes back in the air and the trump of God sounds, and what are we talking about? The rapture. Whenever the Lord comes, when the Lord comes in the clouds, realizing there's nobody else is going to get saved, and he says, now's the time that I'm taking the Holy Spirit off the earth. Now's the time that he that letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. Is that the day that you would like to not be the child of the King of Kings? Certainly wouldn't want to miss that day, because there's 7 years of world-shattering tribulation coming the way of the world. Or maybe the day that you'd like to take off is the day that you were supposed to speak to somebody about the Lord. Maybe the day that you want to take off is, instead of, oh, I am so sick, sore, and tired of every person asking me about Jesus, I'm not going to do it today. Maybe that's the day that you would like to take off, that you would like to have a break. And someone doesn't get to hear those words of eternal life that were so important to Peter, that were so important in the days of Eli, that none of the words of the Lord were let fall to the ground. Is that the day that those words that you could have shared would have made the difference between heaven and hell for that soul, and as a result of you taking a break in that day, someone never got saved? And Revelation 20 talks about the great white throne of judgment, and John looking down with God's holy angels beside him, looking at the dead, small and great, standing before the great white throne of judgment, and one of them would be there pointing up at you, or indeed me, and saying, you took a day off from being a Christian. You never told me the gospel. I'm here today because of that. Well, and so many other bad decisions. Or is the day that you take off the day that your life is done? You know, many people do not go into eternity as old people, as sick people. Many people go into eternity as surprised people. People that were not expecting to go into eternity. Is that the day that you would like to take off from being a child of the King of Kings? I know we can't. You can't take a day off from being a child of the King. You can't take a day off from being saved, because you're saved no matter what you say or do or what is said or done to you. But all of those other circumstances, the speaking to people and the opportunity to lead souls to Christ, those are valid. Josiah made that mistake, and it was such a grievous mistake, it cost him his life.
I know the world is very attractive, and all of the things in it, they appeal to us. At least a good half of us anyway. The old nature bit, not the new nature bit. But throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New, the doctrine has been put in place that we are not to give in to our old nature, our feelings, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're not supposed to give in to them. We're supposed to go with the new nature. The elder, the Word of God says, shall serve the younger. And let's be honest, the old nature is always older than the new nature. We have it from the moment that we're born. And people are not born saved, except for John the Baptist, but that's another message. We are called upon to control our emotions. And just because we're having a bad day does not mean we stop serving the Lord. Or just because we're full of the joys of spring or full of our own conceits or merits does not mean we get a day off serving the Lord. We are the Lord's kids, and we need to remember that it is at those very times that people are watching us and people are listening to us and people are going to make note of what we do. I know the Word of God says that we are, it says it in 2 Timothy 4, we are to preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. We are supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Not see that it says that. Be instant in season and out of season. That's supposed to be us all the time. That sounds like work. It takes a few hours of work just to get this ready for a Sunday morning. And it'll take another hour or two of work to get the evening service done. It's not easy. In fact, it's pretty much impossible to be, even ask any soldier, it's pretty much impossible to be on guard all the time. You have to stop. And I've got a handful of verses here and I would like to read them out. It is impossible for us to do that because it would just grind us into the ground. But on Mark chapter 10, verse 27, you can turn if you like. I'm going to be scooting through a few verses here right and quick. In Mark 10, 27, and in Matthew and in Luke, it says the same thing about the rich young ruler. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, regarding salvation, with men it is impossible, but not with God. What does it say? For with God all things are possible. In John 14 and verse 16, the Lord said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And in verse 26 of the same chapter, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send, the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As we look in Ephesians chapter 4, the Word of God says for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, whenever the Lord leads you, you should be, and I should be, ready and raring to go. We have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear in Romans chapter 8, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And every day, day by day, makes these things possible simply through us being saved and doing what we're told. By rejecting sin, which means ejecting sin, and allowing Christ to give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the mark of our sonship. and the means whereby the Lord ministers to us and gives us our strength and gives us our comfort and gives us our wisdom and gives us our purpose and gives us our direction and, yes, even gives us our love as well. It's the same Holy Spirit that reminds you of the Scriptures just when you need them, that will give you a family anywhere in the world there are believers. And the same Holy Spirit that helps you overcome the world, the flesh and the devil in Isaiah 40 and 31, that will be with you until the day that you stand in the presence of God with the old sin nature gone forevermore. And again, the same Holy Spirit, which we already mentioned, when it's taken off the earth, will let man have the full reign of his will. It'll take us with him because we're not appointed to judgment, but to obtain salvation. The same Holy Spirit that'll give us peace whenever we give the Lord all of our concerns and all of our trials. Tells us which path to take. Blesses us when we do. Gives us a direct line to the Lord God Almighty in heaven and helps us understand and use the very wisdom of God contained in this good old book in our lives right now. It's the same Holy Spirit that encourages us and strengthens us even to the preaching and teaching of the gospel and draws us into a closer and closer walk with the Lord, with whom we're going to be spent in the endless ages of eternity. And even gives us a little taste of heaven right now to go to heaven in. I don't know about you, but he certainly reminds me more than once from week to week that I am saved and nobody can take it away. And people want to take a break from it. Why would you literally? The Lord, 2,000 years ago, said, we need the Holy Spirit. So he gave the Holy Spirit to whomever accepts him as Savior. Because the world is getting so bad that we literally need the presence of God in our lives every moment of every day. And it's still tough. Imagine lost souls trying to feel their way through this world. As the Lord said, blind leaders of the blind, directing people into the ditch. Imagine. I'm going to tell you here and now, before I got saved, I was at my wit's end. All the things that's going on in this world and all the cares and worries of a 21, 22, 23-year-old can have, they had just about used me up like a well-chewed piece of bubble gum. And I am not going to go back to a master like that that treats his servants that awfully. And that's quite literally what the world, the flesh and the devil wants to do. It's strange the things that come to your mind, but as I was driving down the lane and Monica and I were having a wee bit of a chat, I just got to thinking about the devil and how he's the very worst of losers. If he really cared for all the people that followed him, he would tell them, look, you need to get saved, stop following me. But that's not what he says. I'm going to stick with the Savior who loved me and gave his life for me, who still loves me, who opened his home to me and constantly ministers to me and fights for me and confirms and strengthens and gives me a thick ear from time to time. He gives me boldness and fearlessness. Who I have let down, but he has never let me down. And to be quite honest with you, I can't afford to take a break from that. I can't afford to have a spiritual Kit Kat. I'm going to stick with him. And I would urge you to do the same. Make that decision in your life. Years ago, before I was leaving Bethel, I used to think of my life as a tent canvas. And the things that really helped me in my life, week by week, were the church services.
So we had a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday and Friday night Bible study. And those were the things whereby I sort of nailed my week down and I could, you know, think in your head what day of the week is it whenever you've woken up. And I used to liken my life to the tent canvas or the synthetic fabrics that they use now. And all the things that I did for the Lord or that I was able to attend were like tent pegs. And quite simply, the more tent pegs that I put in, the securer my shelter was. I wouldn't go back. I know it can be heavy going sometimes. But it is the best of going. A life lived with Christ. I'm stopping there. Don't take a break from it. But we are taking a little break now. We're going to sing a song and then we're going to be dismissed. So let's grab our hymn books again, the big ones again, if you would. We'll try hymn number 320. Oh, to be like thee. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Are there five verses in that?
To be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of life's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thine own name. to be like thee while I am pleading. Pour out thy spirit, filled with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling. Fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. Brother Will, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, if you would, please?
Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us here today, Lord, and thanks for the service that was given to us by Martin through the Holy Spirit, Lord. Made up God, and may we find a life lesson in the premier lives according to thee, as thou wouldst have us to do, Lord. Lord, we have asked the brother of Steve and Marky as they're in Mexico, provide for them, keep them physically and mentally, psychologically, and indeed spiritually, Lord, keep from any harm. Came from COVID-19 and any evil that's in Mexico, Lord. Join with us go to the US, Lord, for the wedding. And may the wedding go, you know, bless the wedding and the union between Taylor and Christy, and bless them, each and every one that goes to the
service,
Lord, in a couple of weeks' time, Lord. Chris Mark and Mom, bless the go, Lord, and provide them possible, Lord, to go there and give them strength and give them joy and mercy as well. Bless this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the meals that are coming. I thank you for every good thing you've given us, Lord, and bring us into the church next appointment for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.